This morning, we welcome Rabbi Rami Shapiro as our speaker. Rabbi Rami devotes his time to writing and teaching. Many of you may read his blog and the columns he writes for Spirituality and Health magazine. Rabbi Rami is a well-known author and has published more than 30 books. Rabbi Rami will speak on the topic Major Religion Stories for 2018. Drawing on his inner Karnak, Rabbi Rami predicts and explores some of the more explosive religion-centered events certain to happen in the coming year. Let's welcome prognosticator Rabbi Rami.
Good morning. So only those of a certain age get that joke. So I am going to ask that Frank come up and give me a hand here. I don't know how many of you follow religion news blogs and on Twitter or elsewhere, but I'm obsessed with news in general and religion news in particular. And Religion News Service had their predictions of the big stories for 2018, and none of them were the ones I would have thought they would have mentioned. So I came up originally with 25 of the big stories of 2018, but I'm not going to share all of them with you. Some of them are so snarky as to be, it's just, they're not worth it. But I picked some that I thought were worth talking about, though we probably won't get through all of them. We'll use some of them at TalkBack. So here are some of the headlines that you will see in the news in 2018 regarding religion. The Kali Yuga deepens and humanity moves closer to ultimate moral and spiritual collapse. Now, that's a New York Post headline. Kali Yuga deepens in big, big font. So you got to know what the Kali Yuga is, right? So these aren't funny in and of themselves. They're supposed to be, but you're obviously brain dead. But still, it's not a good way for me to start the year, but I am a stable genius and I will get through it. So the Kali Yuga is the end times in the Hindu tradition. Right? Hindus believe that we are in the Kali Yuga and there's no way out of it. Kali is the goddess with the skulls around her neck and her tongue hangs out. And she's got all these axes and bloody heads that she's holding. And so this is a time of destruction necessary in the fourfold cycle of the Hindu understanding of reality. And after the Kali Yuga comes a golden age. But we're in the Kali Yuga and everything collapses. And it seems to me that that's where it's going. Because if you look at the end time scenarios in so many other religions, they're all heating up. They love the fact that Trump is going to move the embassy in Israel to Jerusalem. We'll talk about that one a little bit later. They believe the end times is coming. The Bible, I just read this today, the Bible Museum, which I hope to get to visit soon, the Bible Museum in D.C., I don't know if it's on the mall or slightly off the mall. It's off the mall, but still, the Bible Museum that was built by Hobby Lobby money is subtly promoting this end times theology. It's at the heart of Islam and of Christianity. Parts of Judaism believe that we're in the end times, that when Israel was declared a state, it was the beginning of the end. And it was all going to come to a head. And, in the Jewish point of view, it's just going to be, just infinite dancing of the hora and eating latkes or something. But there's going to be some bad stuff before we get to that. So the big news is things are just going to continue to slide. Second headline for 2018. Jesus, the Mahdi, Maitreya Buddha, Devangari, Shushant, Lee Hong, Haile Selassie, John Frum, and Messiah Ben David each choose not to come to our rescue this year. So these are the messianic characters from a number of religions, right? Every religion believes, many religions believe we're going into an end times, and almost every religion believes that there's someone who's going to save our butts when it gets right down to it. So for Shiite Muslims, it's the Mahdi. He's going to come and save us. Buddhists have Maitreya Buddha. Hindus have this guy Devanagari. Shushant is Zoroastrian, and we have a pretty strong Zoroastrian community in Nashville area, so you know, maybe that'll be the guy who comes back. Very big surprise to the people at Lifeway. But Li Hong is a Taoist guy coming. Haile Selassie, now I'm into this, right? Especially, you know, Haile Selassie is from the Rastafarians. And they are really into, they're really into marijuana and into Haile Selassie, who they thought was the Messiah, and he died, but he will come back. John Frum, oh, I just blanked where John Frum is from. Oh, you're gonna have to look him up. And Messiah Ben David is the Jewish Messiah. He's the one that Christians believe was Jesus, and he's coming back, and Jews think he hasn't shown up yet. But all of these messianic figures, religion, it's a strange thing, right? Religion creates, and we just sang, you know, imagine no religion, right? And I know I'm assuming I know what John Lennon was thinking. He wasn't thinking of, you know, imagine no religion, no Michelangelo too, no Rembrandt or Beethoven, Bach would never do, you know, I mean, all those things. Somebody write that down, I just made that up. You know, we get a lot of beautiful stuff from religion, but we also get madness. We get insanity. The religious mind is sometimes, you know, artistically and poetically genius, and sometimes it's just sociopathic or psychopathic, you know, madness mind. And the religions invent the end times, and then imagine someone riding to our rescue to save the chosen ones. And each group thinks it's the chosen one. Maitreya Buddha doesn't come for Hindus, right? He comes for Buddhists. So it's not going to happen. That's the big headline. We're going to wait, just, you know, January through December, and once again, and he's, you know, they're all men. He hasn't shown up for, you know, thousands of years. Once again, we will be disappointed. But we never give up hope. We never give up hope. You probably can't give up hope because you never give up the horror, right? Your religion creates this horrible mess, and then you have to have hope that it's going to fix it. Because if you only have hope and there's no horror, you don't need the hope, right? Because then everything's fine. But if you only have the horror and there's no hope, I mean, you become a Unitarian. It's just too depressing. So again, along the same lines, headline 2018. New Trump Tower opens in Jerusalem. U.S. moving its embassy next door. Four horsemen of the apocalypse to attend the grand opening. Because when he moves it, it's World War III or IV, depending on how you count. Some people count the Cold War as a world war. But it's the end. Unless, you know, we do something in Korea first. You move the embassy to Jerusalem, unless you say West Jerusalem. All he had to say was, we recognize West Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. If he had said that, nobody would have said anything. But he didn't say that. He said Jerusalem. And that sets off all kinds of anger and insult and you know, madness on one side and joy and jubilation and madness on the other side. I mean, it's stupid. Right? It's stupid to have one little piece of geography as the center of your whole being. You know, it just makes no sense. Unless, you know, it's Boston. I mean, I get it. I was very angry when the Unitarians sold the building on Beacon Hill, because that to me was the mothership and they abandoned us. And, you know, so, but it makes no sense to me to do that. Maybe it made sense when you lived in little tribes and little countries and you didn't even know about most of the rest of the world. But we can go into outer space and see the whole globe, and you know it's one landmass. If you haven't ever seen this, you should Google the Dymaxion map. Dymaxion, D-Y-Maxion. The Dymaxion map by Buckminster Fuller. It's the only flat map, and there's a globe version also, but the flat map is easier to see. It's the only flat map without any distortion. And when you see how he did it, and when you see the map itself, it's just one landmass. Almost every piece of geographical setting on the map is connected with some other. It's just one landmass surrounded by one giant ocean. And to think that one part of that one single landmass is the part, the Holy of Holies, I mean, it just makes no sense. I used to, this is sort of just an aside that will only make sense to me, but in Judaism, there was this famous rabbi, Abraham Joshua Heschel, 20th century guy. And he wrote all about, his whole thing of Judaism was, Judaism is a religion of time, not space. And what he meant was, is that we're obsessed by the 25 hours of the Sabbath and when the holidays start, and it's all about time. But it's not. It's also about time, but it's also about space. This little place in Jerusalem, the city in Israel, this one place, is the holy place on the planet, and we will die for it. It's madness. You know, imagine no countries, nothing to live or die for. Right? I don't know if you can imagine no countries. I'm not even sure any of these. I loved the Lenin song when he wrote it, but then as you think about it, you go, really? Maybe he's gone a little bit too far. But he was excessive. He married Ono. Don't go Ono. But you're like not up to not in on your Lenin material. So it goes a little far for me. But the notion that you would die because they're moving the embassy, or that you would kill because they're moving the embassy. I mean, I guess it makes absolutely no sense, but it'll just continue on. The first three of these are just ongoing political things. Fourth prediction, 2018. Sacred books read literally rather than lyrically drape human ignorance, arrogance, fear, and violence in the cloak of truth and righteousness. Right? I've got a very busy schedule coming up. I'm going to lots of synagogues and lots of churches and lots of interfaith events. And so far, my experience is people are still holding to the literal. It's maddening. It makes no sense. I was at an event, maybe progressive Christian event. I'm not sure. I'll tell you why I'm not sure in a second. The keynote speaker was Bishop Spong, right? So he's very progressive. And I don't know if he's still alive, but he was very, very old when I saw him last at this thing. And he got up, and he's an Episcopalian. This is an Episcopal church filled with Episcopal priests and other leaders. And he harangued the people about the liturgy of the church. And he said, it makes no sense. And he picked on the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, right? He says, where's heaven? When they wrote that, they thought the earth was flat. There was a world below and a world above. And so heaven was up there. And he says, there's no up anymore. There's out and there's in when you send rockets, but there's no up and down. I mean, when I was a kid, people would ask, how is it that the Chinese don't fall off the bottom of the earth? The question should be, how is it you're asking that question in the 1950s? But the whole notion of up and down, heaven, and so he's blasting them about it. And they're all nodding, they're all in agreement. They're having, in the Q&A afterwards, everyone is on his side. We've got, because he's saying, change this prayer. Saturday night, he's saying that. Change this prayer. Sunday morning, I go to the church service. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then I talk after the service, and I go, hello, was anyone listening to Bishop Spong last night? He had already left, he wasn't there. He said, he told you not to say this prayer, and you said this prayer. And then you could see, they all looked at each other. We did. It's like mindless. They weren't paying any attention. It's like you have a rational mind that you use from, you know, Monday to Saturday night, if you're an Episcopalian, I guess. And then Sunday morning, you go into medieval flat earth mode. And you say stuff that makes no sense. And your own most famous leader has said to you, stop, rewrite it. The Pope is trying to rewrite another line in the Our Father. Lead us not into temptation. You following these things? You have to follow these things. They're more interesting than the president on Twitter. He wants to change, in the Lord's Prayer, it says, lead us not into temptation. The Pope says, what kind of God would lead you into temptation in the first place? So I know about this because it was in the New York Times and people were emailing me, and some lady wrote me a question about this for the magazine that I write for, which will be in the next issue. And she says, how dare the Pope put words into the mouth of Christ? Because Jesus said, lead them not into temptation. It's the Lord's prayer. He's the Lord. He ought to know what the words are. So I wrote her back, and again, it'll be in the magazine. Those aren't Jesus' words. We don't know what Jesus actually said. Jesus spoke Aramaic. This is in the Greek. The Bible, the Gospels are in the Greek. We don't know what Jesus really said. The Pope isn't changing the language. He's trying to find a more effective way, given our own philosophies and sensibilities, of understanding at least the Greek, knowing that we don't know what the original was. For all we know, Jesus said, you know, lead us not to create holidays that we turn into major shopping events. I mean, who knows? But this lady was convinced that Jesus said, lead us not into temptation. And then I wrote back and said, you know, I think the Pope is wrong. I mean, what the Pope came up with, he actually just took the French translation, which is keep us from, I think it's, it says keep us from temptation, which is very different than lead us not into, right? Keep us from temptation. But I wrote back when I wrote to this lady, and I said, you know, I like the idea, don't lead us into temptation. And I said, God, now she's not gonna like this, God is basically a projection of the human psyche. And we have good and bad, light and dark, all this stuff inside of us. God carries all these opposites. In the Hebrew Bible, it's clear in Isaiah 45:7, God says, I create light and darkness and good and evil. Only in the Greek, when you get the Greek philosophy saying God is good and not bad, only then do you start getting this dualistic nonsense. The Taoists are the most intelligent, it seems to me, where they have the Tai Chi circle, and inside you have yin and yang, and all the opposites are contained in a greater non-duality. That makes sense to me. If that's what God is, and I would argue God contains all these opposites, because God is reality, then reality does lead you into temptation, right? Every time I open the refrigerator. God is leading me into temptation. Reality is leading me into temptation. So when I say, not that I say the Lord's Prayer, but when I read it, I do not lead me into temptation, it's it's a confession that God isn't good and that life isn't good, despite the company that says life is good with those cute cartoons. They're wrong. No one buys their stuff? Life isn't good for them then, is it? So I like the way it is at the moment, because it reminds you of the dark side. But the headline is going to be that we still lack the capacity to be poets when we read our sacred texts. Now, not all poetry is helpful. I did not understand a word of the poem we meditated on. I just didn't get it. I'm trying to think about when I'm underwater, and I'm swimming, and where's the light, and where's the dark, and I didn't get it. But so I'm not saying all poetry is good, but certainly literalism in the case of religion is bad. We won't go through all of these. So, okay, so skip one. I think we're going to skip one. Headline 2018, more people walk away from organized religion and glom onto spiritual snake oil retailers. I was trying to find a way of not saying salesmen. I just couldn't come up with anything. Salespeople seem too clunky. So I put in spiritual snake oil retailers instead of salespeople. It doesn't, not talk about lack of a poetic mind. That's mine. So the numbers of nuns is growing. I don't know if you've been following this stuff. The number of people who are saying, and it's nuns, not Nunez. Nunez is a guy who's destroying democracy. Nuns are people who are freeing themselves from religious insanity. So the numbers are growing. They're growing in the mainstream churches. They're growing in outside of those churches, people who just never even got involved in those things. But at the same time, the power of New Age BS is soaring. I'm not a victim because I know what I'm doing. I am a perpetrator. I am a New Age snake oil retailer. Or at least I'm supporting them. In February, I think it's next month, I am going to this humongous New Age fair held at the Hilton at the Los Angeles airport, at the LAX Hilton. It's gonna be it's huge. Thousands of people are coming, all kinds of speakers. You're gonna have people like the guy who wrote Conversations with God, those kinds of people. You're gonna have all these people who are completely sold on the secret. And some of you may be there. LA is a nice place to be in this time of year. But some of you may be followers of this stuff. And yes, I'm making fun of you, but I'm sorry about it. So I'm going to go to this thing, and I've done it before, not at LA, I've done one in Atlanta. And it's just, I've done several of them. It's just mind-boggling as to what people will buy once they've abandoned mainstream religion. I'm not saying mainstream religion is better. I'm just saying it's not that people who say, boy, this makes no sense, then go to rationalism, they just go to something else that makes no sense. But for some reason, it makes no sense less than the religion they left, which seems to make no sense to them more. So I had this conversation with this Jewish kid. He was in his 20s. He'd left Judaism for the Shambhala tradition. So Shambhala is an outgrowth of Tibetan Buddhism created by Trungpa Rinpoche, who founded Naropa Institute, and it's got a lot of great stuff in it. I'm not knocking Shambhala, the tradition itself. He sort of tried to take the heart of Tibetan Buddhism and say, this is what it is if we stripped away the Tibetan part and just brought it to the masses. And this kid was trying to explain to me why he left Judaism. And he said, we talk about these prophecies and all this stuff is going to happen and gods and all this. I just can't believe in it. I said, oh, it's okay. I get that. I don't believe in it either. So after the service, or after the meditation, there's a service, a liturgy. And in the liturgy, we pray to the demon queen of the lake of fire. I'm thinking, wait, he left, the miracles, the splitting of the Red Sea, that made no sense to him. But a demon queen ruling the lake of fire? Oh, well, that makes sense. They both don't make sense. So something else is probably going on. But just because people free themselves from one set of irrational ideas doesn't mean they suddenly become rational. They glom onto another set of irrational ideas. And most often, the irrational ideas that I'll discover in Los Angeles next month are more expensive than the ones they got at home. It's so expensive to be crazy in the New Age movement. Stuff costs a lot of money. Crystals are not cheap. All right. So now I can hear people going, crystals, that is my religion. All right. Okay, here's the next one. Headline 2018, New Age Pabulum replaces serious spiritual conversation. Few notice the difference. One of the reasons why we're so gullible is that no one trains us not to be. You go into a church or a synagogue. I mean, I went to a synagogue in Nashville. I don't know why I said it that way. It's not like Nashville is the hotbed of rationalism. But I was in a synagogue in Nashville, in the one of the Reform synagogues in Nashville. These are supposedly places that are rationally oriented. And the Torah portion that we were discussing was the story of Noah and, you know, the ark and all that stuff. And the debate that was going on was, it wasn't really a debate, the discussion that was going on was how you fit all those animals on the ark. And I was sitting there going, it's a myth. It's a fable. It's a parable. It's a story. You don't ask that question of a story. You don't ask how it is that the wolf dressed up in grandmother's clothing. They don't wear clothes. Wolves don't do that, you know? It's a story. It's trying to tell you something. And they're just going on, well, it must have been multi-story. And I mean, now we know the answer. You can go to Kentucky, or is that where they're building the ark? I think they're building the ark. And I mean, give me a break. In a Reform synagogue, that's the discussion that's going on. And they made it very intellectual because, you know, mostly they're very well-educated people in other fields. Obviously, in religion, they're 4 years old. But in other fields, so they're going, well, you know, given the waste that may be produced by a brontosaurus, oh my God, it's just insane. People don't know the difference between nonsense when it's religious and nonsense when it's not. And they just get caught up in this kind of thinking. And it's very seductive, I guess. And I probably fall prey to it also. But I don't think so. But anyway, I'm just being modest. but I'm lying. It's a false modesty. I am a stable genius. But we can't tell the difference. Nobody gets up and says the emperor has no clothes. You can't even say that about our president. You certainly can't say it about the pope or about the chief rabbis of Israel or about, I don't know, the prophet. Didn't the prophet just die in the Mormon church? They're waiting for the new prophet. So you can't say that these are all made up positions that humans have empowered these individuals, almost always men, but humans have empowered these individuals with authority over them. It just blows my mind that no one recognizes what's going on. I think I know why. They're afraid. Once they know the emperor has no clothes, they realize that we're all naked. And now what do? Right? If they don't have the answers, and I don't have, you know, we don't have the answers, then maybe there are no answers. And that's why we carve the answer in the stupid mountain. Right? And the answer is under construction. That's because the person who wrote that book had no stock in the magic eight ball. That's where I thought it was going. I once gave a sermon on the High Holy Days, Yom Kippur, the most holy day in the Jewish calendar, to 1,000 people in a synagogue. And I didn't tell that story. I didn't know that story. But it was the same idea. And I said, but there is a solution. And then I pulled out a magic eight ball. And I walked through I said, anyone have a question? I have the answer, right? You shake it up. And, you know, it says yes, no, maybe. Or it says, ask again later. You can't lose with the magic eight ball. The problem with the mountain was it was too literally carved in stone. But the magic eight ball is so much better. If you need something to hold on to, everyone should simply get a magic eight ball. And then you do what it says, or you don't. But at least it gives you something to deal with, you know, as opposed to simply saying, I don't know. All right, last one. I'm just gonna go to the end because I'm running out of time. Headline, 2018. God the Father resigns as millions of women accuse him of endorsing sexual assault. That one needs no explanation. May it be so.